Okay, Stephanie, what are we doing this time? Wait, you sent me some email, and yeah, we're going to do this. And...
We're talking about dog movies. Because there's
movies
a new
directed by dogs? No.
No, there's a new movie, A Dog's Purpose, by Lasse Hallström. And so I thought, let's talk about dog movies.
Sounds good.
They're back. The Cube Critics, Stephanie Curtis and Ewan Kerr.
Now, Lasse's got a kind of a doggish
He does.
History.
He has a doggish history.
What was that? Was that?
Hatchie, the dog's tale with Richard Gere and Joan Allen, which was going to be one of my picks for because it's such a great movie about the human connection to dogs and what pets can mean to us and the loyalty of pets. And it's just a lovely family film. Richard Gere plays a man who sees a dog at the train station when he's coming and going from work. And the dog doesn't appear to have an owner. And so they take the dog in, and the dog is a wonderful dog that is a part of the family. And as the family goes through a change and some heartbreak, the dog is with them and is part of the story. And the dog, it's about loyalty and how dogs can be mean so much to people. And
maybe you should clarify. Are you a dog person? Do you consider yourself a dog person?
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I'm not a dog person. Yeah. And but it's based
like
on the
dogs.
Real story. I like dogs fine, yeah. But I don't need a dog in my house. I don't want anything that I need to walk and to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right? Right. Enough said. And I don't like things that shed. Anyway, moving on. But it's based on a real story of a real dog who would go and meet his owner at the train station every day. And he's got a little statue devoted to him in Japan. And so it's based on a real story, but it's set in the United States. And it's heartwarming and beautifully directed. Lasse Hallström is so great at, like, sun-dappled upper-middle-class suburbia. And it works your heartstrings.
Of course. I mean, that reminds me, this is not one of my choices, but having grown up in Edinburgh, there is the story of Greyfriars Bobby, which was made into a Disney film about the little dog who sat on his master's grave for 15 years and is also immortalized in Edinburgh with this beautiful little bronze statue on the corner of the street. But what's kind of weird is that when I was growing up, you just said, oh, look, there's Greyfriars Bobby. Hiya, Grey. And then you walk by. But now it's become this tradition to rub his nose for luck.
Really?
Yeah. And
who
so
made
it's,
up that?
I have no idea. But you go by and these people are touching.
Have you ever done it?
No.
That's why you have no luck, Ewan.
No. I have taken a picture of my children sitting beside it, but that was before. It was when it still had a black nose, an appropriately colored nose. Anyway, sorry.
What is your movie?
I'm not going to go for heartwarming.
Oh, don't.
No.
Thinking about doing White Dog by Sam Fuller. So I'm
okay,
you...
well, this one, I'm Amoris Perros. Which has been translated by some. I mean, it was interesting that many foreign language movies get translated, have an English title, and this was translated into Love's a Bitch, and so a lot of people went with Amoros Perros, which it was an early film by Alejandro González.
Iñárritu,
who went on to make Birdman later on. And this, but this is actually one of his earlier films where he combines a number of stories. There are three stories, and they all revolve around people with dogs. The first one has Gael García Bernal, the heartthrob, who ends up getting drawn into dogfighting. And we then go on and we see a tragic story about a model, and then another story about a hitman. And they're all vaguely connected by a car crash. But it just draws you in, and you meet these fascinating characters who are making tough decisions about how to go on with their lives. And they have their canine companions who sometimes help them and sometimes don't. It's quite extraordinary, and also it's kind of a precursor to depending on which side of the pond you live on, whether you call it Babel or Babel, mm-hmm. which was this brief, what, I can't even remember how many interconnecting stories there were in that one.
Too many.
It was, I thought, brilliant.
I
loved that film.
I know.
You didn't. But this is a film which is horrifying, it is heartwarming, and a great introduction to his work.
How's the dog acting?
Fighting, a lot of fighting. Very good, it's very good. So.
I'm going to do a Ewan thing. I was thinking about White Dog by Sam Fuller. I decided not to.
No.
And Umberto D, I talk about Too Much, the greatest man and dog movie ever made. But instead I'm going to talk about Benji. How did Benji take over the United States pop culture in the 70s? When people are, you know, I was just reading some column in the New York Times saying, we don't have shared culture anymore. It used to be that everyone watched All in the Family. And, of course, it's great that we have so many more outlets, but still there's no shared conversation. At one time, all the United States had to know who Benji was.
Yes.
So Benji was originally the dog was on Petticoat Junction. And the reason why they made the movie is because he was so great at being Benji, at doing scenes and walking the right way and looking the right way. He was just a great little dog actor.
And there only one Benji? Because there were 17
Benji,
lassies.
No, there's only one Benji. Benji mm-hmm. died and I don't know what. But, I mean, the same Benji was in Petticoat Junction and what is it, Oh Heavenly Dog? The one with Chevy Chase voicing him was terrible. Anyway, why I want to talk about Benji, though, is because it was an independent movie at this point. Okay, so the director decided he wanted to make a movie starring this dog because I think the dog's name is Higgins. Because Higgins was so great. I'm just going to call Higgins Benji now because Benji's so great. So they just went down to Texas in a little town, got a bunch of not very good actors, and set up a ridiculous movie idea of the Benji's going to foil some burglars and these two kids are going to love Benji and take him in and their father's going to object. And it's not a great movie that way, but it is totally G-rated. It is such a trip back in time. The soundtrack, the images of a small town in Texas in the 70s. I'm not saying it's a great movie, but it's a piece of American cultural history, and we should face up to our past and watch Benji.
Okay.
There you go. Benji.
Okay.
And if nothing else, you can watch the opening credits of Benji on YouTube, I'm pretty sure. But it cost a couple thousand dollars, $10,000, mm-hmm. and it ended up making $45 million. In 1974.
And that was real money.
It was real money. Did they have Benji over in Scotland? Did you guys watch that?
I remember it coming through. And
you're a little too old for it.
I was a little too old for it. And then there seemed to be a whole bunch of other ones.
Oh, yeah. There was For the Love of Benji. And there was...
And then there was just all the knockoffs. There's Beethoven and...
Well, that was all in the 80s.
There's just all these dog movies
coming through. I think there's room for a new dog series. Someone out there... You're listening to me. There's room for a new Benji in the world.
Okay.
Make a Benji movie.
Speaking of which,
you don't
of
seem
dog
sold
movies,
on watching Benji.
No, and I'll get back to you on that. Okay.
One of the biggest grossing independent films in American cinema history, Ewan. All right, go on.
Okay. One of the only times that a live action movie I think is better than the animated movie it's based on,
mm-hmm.
101 Dalmatians,
mm.
which and I love the animated 101 Dalmatians, but Glenn Close as Cruella de Vil. But anyway, but that's not one of my choices.
Oh, it's not.
I wanted. Well, it's there. I mean, I slipped it in.
You
see
did.
How I did that.
You did.
I wanted to do the Homer and talk about a locally made dog movie, and that was Iron Will from 1994, which is vaguely based on a true story about a young man who in 1917 entered a sled dog race from Winnipeg to St. Paul, thinking that if he can win this race, he'll have enough money to save the family farm.
You know? Oh, my heart is already warmed.
Yeah. And it's actually a really wonderful kind of creepy thriller because, of course, There's lots of other things going on. You have Kevin Spacey plays the slightly unscrupulous newspaper man who actually gives him the money to take part in this race because he wants something to write about, and then he kind of does this thing where he blows it up and then kind of gets really upset when it looks like he's going to pull out and all this. That's wonderful. And then there's some really nasty bad guys who are trying to prevent him from winning. It's just a lot of fun. I remember I took my kids to see it, mm-hmm. and they were mildly terrified. So it could have been that because it was so close to here.
Who's the star of that? Is it one of the Astin brothers, or is it Ethan Hawke?
Of the Astin brothers, yeah.
There's some Ethan Hawke movie around the same time,
yeah.
And the Astin brothers. I can never remember
yes,
who has the lead.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. I want people to see Benji.
It's the end of this podcast.
Hatchy. You recommended Amoros Perros. You're so classy.
Yes, classy.
And Iron Will. That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, and Glenn Close, 101 Dalmatians.
You snuck it in there.
Woof, woof.
I'm Umberto D., one of the greatest movies ever made.